so what was the inspiration behind Sex Crimes Unit?
I've been wanting to make this film since 1996. I mean, Linda Fairstein, who was the first chief of the unit, was an inspiring prosecutor, as are they all. But it's just a documentary maker's dream to be able to be a fly on the wall and watch these incredible lawyers, you know, put their cases together. And that was my big idea starting 15 years ago. And I finally got permission to shoot from Robert Morgenthau, the legendary district attorney. I filmed for 2 years, and I just finished it in January this year. It's all in the timing.
Was it difficult at any point, I mean, because you had that whole fly on the wall, you know, persona going into this, to just keep quiet? Because some of the cases, well, all of the cases, are extremely emotional. How hard was it for you to just kind of, you know, be calm and just let the tape speak for itself?
Well, I've been making documentaries for 30, 35 years, and it's something that you just do. My last film was in, you know, the Congo, where I heard people describe things that made you want to run screaming from the room, and you just don't, you know. but yes, it was an emotional film. It was a real roller coaster. The Natasha story is just amazing. I'm just blessed that she trusted us and shared with us her incredible journey, and that journey continues, and she has her own foundation now, and it's just been amazing. But I was just so, you know, honored by the privilege that usually I would just, you know, stand there slack-jawed, you know. I also was doing a lot of the filming. I usually shot second camera, and sometimes I was the only camera. And then you're concentrating on, you know, getting the scene.
How difficult was it to get Natasha to agree and to open up about her story?
You know, Natasha and I hit it off right away. I don't know if you've seen my Congo movie, but in it I reveal the story of when I was 25 years old, I was gang raped in Washington, D.C., and the three guys who did it to me were never caught. In fact, they threw out my rape kit. And, you know, I've written about it, I've been sort of out about it, and that was one thing that Natasha and I had in common, and we have become really good friends. She knew instantly that she wanted to be part of this film. It wasn't until maybe 6 or 8 months after we first met that I did the interview, but the timing was perfect. And but you know it's about trust and knowing that you're going to be represented. So,
okay, what was it like working with so many solid attorneys so closely?
You're being observational, but the thing that I was grateful for is how they revealed not only what, you know, how their incredible intelligence, their brilliance in putting the cases together, that, you know, that laser focus and that that creative ability, you know, when you're building your summation or, you know, thinking of different angles, you know, things, how to tell the story that's going to represent your you know, the victim. But they're so full of humanity. They worry about their weight. They get pregnant and have babies. They are obsessed with Derek Jeter. You know, they like their reality shows. They fret getting their kids through college, you know. So I was so grateful also to have just their human side besides just their laser-focused lawyer side.
Out of the lawyers that you've spoken to for this documentary, who do you think is your favorite character, and why?
You know, the unit is sort of a character unto itself, I would have to say. I mean, everybody works so closely with everybody else. To single out one would just be unfair. Like, so I think my favorite character is the Sex Crimes Unit itself.
Okay.
And after that would be Natasha, who's not a lawyer at all.
Okay, what do you want this film to do to its audience? How do you want them to feel after they're done watching this?
Well, hopefully grateful that there are such incredible human beings doing the hard work that they do. But, you know, 1 in 6 American women will, you know, as it says in the film, will be raped or, you know, victim of an attempted rape. So we probably all know somebody who's been you know, had been a victim of sexual violence, or, you know, it's always a crime that happens to somebody else. So I hope that it spreads a little light and on the subject, and that it'll encourage women to come forward. It'll increase, you know, an understanding in the general public about the myths around this, and it'll show the real, it's sort of the real sex crimes unit, you know, lawyers who don't mince around in Prada outfits and don't have offices overlooking Central Park, who are doing it because of their commitment to, you know, bringing justice.
Okay, you've won an Emmy. You've had films at Sundance. You know, in your three decades as a filmmaker, as a documentary maker, how do you want this film to play a part in your legacy?
It's sort of, you know, every film you make, every documentary is sort of your first film and your last film. Sometimes you don't know what the next one is, and when you start this one, you don't know if it's going to be. So it's just the next step. I'm working on a film now about women who have been displaced by the violence in Colombia. So it's sort of looking at the experience of violence through female eyes, I think is a big part of my mission. It's the point of view that we don't often hear or see. So it's definitely after the Rape in the Congo film, it's the other side of the world, and that's a nice place to be.
You would think that this is almost a very heady topic for some people, but you make it very accessible and human. So do you think that's a part of your filmmaking style, or do you think that just kind of shines through because of your experiences?
You know, I don't think it has anything to do with my experiences necessarily. It's part of my style, and it's also part of my, you know, documentary oath to represent things as I see them. And also, it is a hard topic. You know, it's there are a lot of taboos and misconceptions, and you know, a lot of people just go, ugh, you know, why would we want to see a film on that? But so, you know, people think of it as a film that's all spinach. You know what I mean? So you have to have the ice cream, and thank heavens those lawyers just dished it up. That's who they are. I didn't have to ask them for it, and that's a beautiful thing.
Okay, why do you think you make documentaries instead of films? Do you think that's your calling?
Well, after 35 years, it better be my calling, or I've made a horrible mistake. I guess it is. And it's a privilege, you know. You get to ask famous people, unfamous people, very personal questions, and they give you the great privilege of letting you into their lives. And every film is like another, you know, it's like an education in something you never imagined before, and never had a chance to see from the inside, and have always wanted to. Or, you know, it's just... Every film is its own journey, and they're all worth taking.
Okay, you mentioned your new project that's taking place, you know, about women displaced in Colombia. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you're thinking about possibly working on?
Well, you know, you make a film, and then you spend a good chunk of time just making sure it gets seen. So that's the next thing after the HBO broadcast. And then, you know, the Columbia film I've been shooting now for 3.5, going on 4 years. So I hope to finish the shooting this fall. So that's still an ongoing, open-ended, you know, preoccupation. And then who knows what's next?
For someone that is kind of flipping through the channels on June 20th, when the documentary is supposed to air, and they see this, you know, kind of on their guide, on their TV guide, and they're kind of, you know, going back and forth whether to watch it or not, how would you sway them to watch it?
I'd say this is something you've never seen before, and you're not going to see it anywhere else. You think you've seen this before, but you haven't. You know, you watch Law and Order, or, you know, you see this represented in dramatic television or in films. You think you know what it's about. You have no idea.